So weird how life
works.
Yeah. I would have not thought this would be me.
Hey, Roll Tide.
I'm not perfect. I'm going to stumble over my words. I'm going to make mistakes.
I think I like people that look like they haven't bathed.
Crunchy. Yeah, but I'm a total train wreck.
Are you ready to do this?
Guarantee you'll see the beast.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
How are you going?
I'm okay. I think, Adam, you probably have the biggest update of anybody this week, right?
I do have an update.
Mm-hmm.
It's about my leg.
What about your leg, sir?
It is not as bad as we thought. The doctors lied to me.
What? Wait. Wait. So what has transpired from last week?
So here's what happened. I went into the doctors last week, and they were like, yeah, you two separate. They're like, yeah, you probably have a torn ACL. Like, it's going to take you a long time.
Sure.
Then I got an MRI last week.
And remember, we were all very distraught at the beginning of last week's episode. We didn't know what we were going to do. It was touch and go in the Robinson Boniface household for quite some time.
Yeah, an ACL injury takes like a long time. It can take like a year to come back from.
And we've got plans.
Yeah, I got places to go. I got cuts to make.
You got cuts to make. You got stuff to, you know, take up.
I got to get my vertical back.
Yeah, you got to get stuff out of shelves for me. You got to reach stuff.
I can still do all that now.
Well, because of what happened.
Well, no, even then. So it turns out, don't have an ACL tear.
Yay.
Great news. Yay. It's just an MCL. It won't take that long.
Well, it's no more, surgery. It's MCL strain, mild tear, sprain.
Sprain, grade sprain. 3 sprain.
Yeah, and then a severe bone bruise. This is great.
But there's no surgery, so I'm totally healthy.
We're ecstatic.
I still have to wear my cool robot bionic leg for a while, but I don't have a torn ACL.
This is great.
I'm better than Klay Thompson right now.
Oh, please don't bring it up. Don't bring it up. Don't. Come on.
That's it. That's it for my personal update. Thank you for listening to our show still, even though I haven't been able to cut and pivot like I normally would.
But you know what, Adam? A lot of people were really worried about you. I got a lot of messages and notes. People were truly concerned about your well-being. So
all those
that
people were wrong.
Should be something.
Now, I appreciate that,
mm-hmm.
everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now you can send a second wave, but now that it's correctly diagnosed, you
right.
know what you're wishing me good luck with.
And now we are outside of the window where you can go back to making tearing your ACL jokes, so back on the table.
Yeah, you can still do that.
Oh my God, please. It's so funny.
You could have done it before.
No.
I would have done it before. I would have accepted jokes about tearing your ACL. Even
you
would have.
I wouldn't have.
Laughing probably would have hurt.
That's right.
The knee is a very sensitive area.
She's sensitive.
Let's talk about actual television dating show reality game competition.
So we are in Amsterdam this week. And
we are in Amsterdam. We're totally not in our apartment in San Francisco.
Nope.
We are in Amsterdam.
The red light district, to be specific. And so this week, because we have had so many, let's call them stop starts with Hannah, she's getting rid of three people tonight. So there is no, like, you know, we're down to the final five and we cut one before hometown. She's like,
no,
we're going from 7 to 4. Hard stop. That's it. That's the tweet.
What? D-R-A-M-A. Drama. Right there.
So, let's get into the drama.
So, we start with Jed.
Yes.
Jed has a one-on-one date, which is kind of what you expect. You expect, at the beginning of this date, she has to do 3 one-on-ones. And so, right away, she's going to be like, all right, I want the guy that I'm the most sure of.
Exactly.
And I'll give him the rose.
Exactly.
And this is... And otherwise, it's a bad date. It's a walk and talk date.
Like, sure.
Whatever. Walk and talk date is a rough date for Hannah Brown to be on.
Yes.
Because it hits you right in the middle of this episode. Oh my God, I've been watching 8 episodes of this show this season, and she hasn't said a word yet.
Has it really been 8 episodes already?
Yes. It's been 8 episodes, and every one of her dates... She meets the guy and he goes, "You look beautiful." She's and then he picks her up and they kiss each other aggressively. And then they walk around and she doesn't say anything.
Yeah, she doesn't.
Occasionally, the guy will talk. Occasionally. But most of the time, the two of them just go, "This is a great time. Yeah, this is a great time." And then just make out the whole time.
I love that before Jed left for his date, Garrett said, "Did he bring his guitar?" Which is funny. And at this point...
He's kind of a one-trick pony.
Hello.
And that pony can play the guitar.
Right. And at this point, there's a couple of things that I have been thinking about related to Jed. One, it does seem like he relies a lot on his music. Now, whether or not it is a product of him being sinister or if it is a product of the editing of the show, it remains to be seen. But if you are on the show and the one item that you get is your guitar, I'm sure he is trying to channel some sort of other creative energy into writing songs, putting out content in that kind of way. So I can understand why he likes to use his guitar a lot. But it also seems like the show is definitely editing all of the moments where he sings or plays guitar to her in relationship to some of the stories that we've heard outside of the franchise, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. What's the point?
I'm just saying that he plays his guitar a lot, and I'm trying to rationalize how and why he's doing. Well, that's just
because you play your strength.
Right. Well, he's playing to his strength, and he's, like, you know, trying to keep his hands busy.
Like, if I were on the show, I'm a writer more or less, you know. If I were on the show, I would write her little notes and things.
Right.
And I would be looking for opportunities to do that.
Exactly. So for like some people who are artists or illustrators or something like that, I mean, everybody uses their talent in a different way as an outlet is essentially my point. So for everybody to kind of say all of this stuff about, oh, Jed's using his music, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he is for sure. And the show is editing it that way. But also let's try to see it as his creative outlet to do something that's not talking about Luke P.
Yeah, I don't think he feels like he has to. He's in a spot where he doesn't have to, which is a weird spot to be in. But yeah, this is the date where she sits down and they talk, and she's like, "Listen, talk to me," or something. I don't know. Like, she expresses to people that she very much wants them to talk to her about stuff.
Right.
Including Jed right now. This is like their big serious moment on the dinner part of their date. And she's like, "Listen, tell me your feelings. Articulate your feelings to me."
And it seemed very clear that she was trying to get him to do that in an effort to either have him fill the silence so that she could figure out what to say, or she could try to figure out where he was at so that she could match what he was trying to say. Because it sounds like what she really wanted to do was just say, "I'm falling in love with you." Because she didn't do that with anybody else.
No.
She only did it with him. And she pretty much all but told him, "I'm picking you. I love you." You know, and she didn't have this kind of nervousness or fear of rejection, let's call it, with anybody else when they were talking about their feelings or how she felt about them. Jed was the only person that she felt like, I don't know, which continues to solidify why I think she's going to pick him.
She's just dumb.
Yeah.
And like when she gets all flustered with her feelings,
yeah,
she starts doing, she does a handful of things. Number one is she will talk in fragments.
Mm-hmm.
She'll say things like, "So much. I just cannot."
And she breaks off the, yeah.
I don't know. I do know.
Like, you do know.
Yay.
Oh,
like,
God.
That's a sentence from her.
Yeah.
And this is, I think she's getting to a point right now where she's realizing she's very close to being done with this and realizing she literally doesn't know anything about anyone. She just kissed everyone and she has no, do we know anything about anyone?
We don't.
Because she hasn't interrogated them.
I will literally talk about this later on in the show. I don't want to blow my wad. The only two things that I want to continue to say about Jed is that when she said, "I'm falling in love with you," to him, I felt so bad for her. Because if this is how she feels about him now, with all of these stories that have come out about him, not only, as we mentioned from last week, about the girlfriend that he had when he left and he was texting her on the phone, there was another woman that came out last week that Jed was cheating on that girlfriend with. And there are text messages that are attached to all that stuff. I mean, at this point...
It's almost like you should get to know someone before you fall in love with them.
It's almost like that. And then the more that I watch this and watch his interaction with her, I'm like, how fake is all of this? Because he doesn't feel this way about her.
I wonder if just a baseline level of questioning could reveal this. Hey, tell me about the last person you were dating. When I go home... What are your parents going to say about the last girl you dated?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they going to say you're dating someone right now?
Yeah. Or know? Are they not going to know when your last relationship is? Because that's probably even worse of a red flag.
I mean, you just like, you feel like she feels lost. Like she feels behind because she doesn't have a conversational skill to get to know a person through her words.
And I think she probably wants to confide more in the producers than she can. And at this point in the show, she's probably realizing that she can't trust those people. So she really has nobody to talk to.
If she could.
Right.
If she could talk to people, she doesn't have a person to do that.
Ugh.
So I guess it goes as well as Jed could have. But like, it is so hard for me to watch her. She is the opposite of everything that I'm attracted to in a person.
I feel like we took 2 steps forward a couple weeks ago and then like 800 steps back.
You feel bad for her. I feel you really bad for her. It's not her fault. She's in this position.
I mean, you know, this is the behavior of a 24-year-old girl who decides she wanted to be an interior designer.
That's fine. When you're 24, you can decide whatever the hell you want. You shouldn't be put on national dating show to find a husband when you are not the material to be in a long-term relationship with someone yourself.
She needs to be on the Bumble, making her own mistakes on her own time, not on mine.
Fine. Learn how to talk to people.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the next one-on-one date. It's with Tyler. It's with house favorite Tyler.
Let me tell you something about my man, Ty Tat.
Hey, great.
Please.
He's bae. He's daddy. He can do whatever he wants.
He is so poor.
I...
There is no way...
Well, he is poor, actually.
I know.
And we will talk about that in a minute.
Oh, I wasn't going to, but I guess we are. So they go, they ride horses around.
A little bit of a different walk and talk date, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Oh.
So they're, instead of walking around town, they're going to ride horses, which would be interesting, except there's no one to teach them how to ride the horses.
And they're not regular horses. They're these big-ass Clydesdales. Now, if you guys have ever seen a Clydesdale... You've seen those Budweiser commercials with those big-ass horses that are, you know...
Clydesdales.
Mushing around sleighs.
They're horse tanks. They're big.
They're literally the size of houses. I love Clydesdales.
They're elephants.
They are elephant horses.
But horses, yeah.
Elephant horses. And so these two people are riding these massive Clydesdales. Tyler even says himself, I'm a little afraid of horses. And a big horse like that? Not great.
So... Yeah, so they just find these horses and they get on them. Although neither one's ever rode a horse before, and they get on top.
It seems like Hannah's ridden a horse.
No.
She has the behavior of somebody.
No, she does not. Because she sits on and thinks it is voice activated. Mm-hmm. She gets on and she goes, go, 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 go. Listen, it's a horse. It doesn't speak English. And if it does, it's not listening to you.
I mean, it probably speaks Dutch if they're in Amsterdam.
What? You can't just say go.
To a horse.
The kind of person who gets on a horse and thinks it is voice control.
Well, I mean, you don't know what
go.
You don't know what her go. Feet were doing. You don't know if her thighs were squeezing. Because, you know, you got to squeeze your thighs. You know, I went to horse camp, Adam.
Why would you say go? But this is not her fault. Like, it is not her fault that she can't ride a horse.
So you don't have any feedback about me going to horse camp? You don't even want to talk about that?
When did you go to horse camp?
I went to horse camp when I was 10. No, I was 11. And
then you never rode a horse ever again after that?
Yes, but the horse that was mine for the week of horse camp.
Okay.
His name was Sonny.
I think we have talked about
him. He was the smallest horse that they had.
Because you were tiny.
Because
I'm
sure. I was a small person.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about horse camp is that everybody was responsible for their own horse. And you had to clean up after your horse and everything. And Sonny, knowing that I was bougie, never, ever once defecated in the area where he was supposed to be latched up. Because he knew. He was like, she don't want to clean up my poop. She won't do that. So this little girl is not going to do that. She is wearing a headband. It's not happening. So that was my claim to fame.
Hey, great.
I had the one horse that never pooped in the barn.
Good for you. Good for you and Sonny.
Thank you.
Thank you. When you got on, did you say go and he went?
No. I mean, you squeeze your thighs and, you know, Sonny was like, okay, cool. Let's.
Somebody should have been there to tell them that.
Yeah. Anyway. So what kind of snacks did they eat during their horse walk and talk?
I remember ice cream.
I do remember ice cream.
And I remember they started in the direction of some Stroop waffles that they didn't take.
We love a Stroop waffle.
And then they did the pickled herring, which he did not respond well.
Tyler literally almost puked on television. He gagged. Actively.
Yeah.
I saw it happen. And there was like a residual gag where he was like, don't throw up. Don't throw up. Don't do it.
Oh, yeah. You could see like the camera zooms in and his eyes go, oh my God, I'm about to throw up on TV.
He's like, don't do it. He's like, don't do it. Don't do it.
He had the willpower not to.
He really did.
But you could see in his face for like a split second.
I saw it.
He was like, oh my God.
I'm going to throw up right
here. My 15 minutes of fame are going to end with me vomiting on this horse I can't ride in a foreign country.
In front of this super hot girl that I'm trying to bang.
And I didn't even get one of those Stroop waffles. Right?
What a nightmare.
Also, super hot. Questionable.
Well.
So.
You can't help what you're into.
How could anybody be into this?
You're right.
Anyway.
So we get to the evening portion of the date, and,
you know. It's just like Jed's date.
Yes. And so Hannah she says that she's trying to push Tyler to open up because she wants to know that he's
not holding back.
Yeah. All these platitudes. And so Tyler releases this information that he, like most children of the late 80s and early 90s, is a child of divorce. Oh my God. Can you believe it?
And he's afraid that he's going to fail at marriage too.
Sure. But the interesting part of it that made his story a little bit different and unique, of course,
is that he's poor.
And not only.
Stop it. Put it in your pants, Taylor. It is not okay for you to be licking your lips about this poverty thing. Can't help what you're into, but.
Listen. I'm an equal opportunity employer.
You are not an equal opportunity employer.
All creeds, colors, and socioeconomic backgrounds.
You are a blue-collar employer.
That's right.
That is exactly what you are.
I would love to unionize. Okay!
Get out of here.
I'm a one-woman union. I won't work past six. So Tyler talked about how his dad came from nothing, essentially built this beautiful house on the lake, and then the economy crashed, and then he lost everything, and his parents got divorced because they couldn't sort of deal with it. Their relationship couldn't survive it, and he talks a lot about how that makes him think about what he wants to provide for his family, what's important, how he can communicate, and I'm like, ah, yes.
I mean, he's mumbling through the entire thing. It's miserable to try to understand. So he says this,
I'm pretty clear on it.
And then Hannah goes, oh my God, my parents are still together, but they don't communicate. And I'm afraid of being in a relationship where I don't communicate with people, which is the only real thing she's said in 8 episodes.
Which is kind of mind blowing because a lot of people get on this show and they're always like, you know, my parents have been together for like 30 years and they love each other so much. But like the fact that she would get on here and say, yeah, my parents have been together for a long time, but they don't talk. Group.
Well, I think she's having moments right now of realizing that she cannot communicate with people, which is, you know, the only important skill, not only in a relationship, but just in life in general.
And I wonder why, because she's not having it at home.
Well, yeah, and she's not a processor. She's slow.
I mean, some of that is learned, nature and nurture.
Some of it is, but, you know, she's writing snail mail to these people. She's not communicating with them. So
snail mail.
Right. So she says this, and it kind of hits you, you know. I mean, do you feel bad for her?
I feel bad for her.
She needs to step up and just be the change that she wants to see in the world right now.
Wow.
I think, you know what? I think it's been a few seasons since I've reminded the listeners of this. So if you're new, you're going to hear this from me for the first time.
Okay.
Other people treat you exactly how you treat them.
And you know, Adam, I always personally love when you tell the people the empathy piece about when they start dating people. Why don't you throw that one out too?
It's important to be nice to other people all the time, no matter if you're dating them or not. It is the most important thing about being alive.
I mean, yeah, but like also the other thing.
What other thing?
About how, you know, the way you feel when you like somebody is the same way that they feel.
Oh yeah, that's true. I'll go into that. There's two parts to this. I already said the first part. Other people will treat you how you treat them.
Yeah, sure. So
if you want someone else to open up to you, you just be proactive and open up to them. This is how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's part number one. Part number two, if you're sitting there, you know, and there's something you want to say to somebody, and you're wondering, like, you go home to your apartment or your house or whatever, and you're sitting around like, man, I'm thinking about this other person all the time. I wonder what they're doing right now. I want to talk to them. I want to do all this stuff. You know what? They're probably doing the same for you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's doing that for you.
Yeah.
You know? If you just have to go out and say it. Somebody has to go first.
Somebody has to say something.
Somebody has to be, the philosophical term for this is the prime mover. The regular podcast listener language. Someone has to go first.
Somebody's got the big D.
So if you're Hannah, you're the Bachelorette, go first.
You guys, did anybody notice that Adam softly threw in there his degree as he described it?
I just called it a philosophical term. You're the one mentioning my minors.
Okay. Listen, I think we should do a counter next time. Next
season. Of how many
times you bring up your degrees?
These aren't real degrees. They're minors.
Okay.
It's like a rider you attach to an actual degree.
Yes.
Unless you go to Missouri where they just give you a whole new one.
Yes,
if you get three
of
them.
But like Beyonce puts black washcloths on her rider. She gets them. You know?
Yeah. I don't think it's the same thing.
It's the same.
Anyway, I feel like Tyler and Jed both got roses. Both had very similar dates where she was like, you have to tell me something. Because she's in desperation mode for a conversation here. And the two of them both just said literally anything. And she goes, okay, I accept.
We love it. Thanks.
Be the change, people.
Be the change. So, back at the house. Connor is shook.
Brooding.
He is brooding. He is gooped. He is bamboozled.
It's because we've announced the third one-on-one date. We know the first two were Jed.
Right.
And then Tyler. Right. And then the third and final one-on-one date is announced. And it's Mike.
And Connor,
who is not Connor.
Right. And Connor has not had a one-on-one date since the day that Hannah was sick.
The very beginning, wasn't it?
Right. And so she really didn't spend a lot of time with him. And so he has not gotten the chance to spend a lot of time with her either. Now,
do the math, Connor.
Granted.
Use your percent.
Right. Now, the real problem with this
is math education.
Is math education in America.
There's seven guys left and three one-on-one dates.
Right.
The odds are not in your favor.
So Connor goes to talk to Hannah and he's like, hey, just wanted to check in and see what's going on. And she says, yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah, I wanted to. Yeah, I've been thinking about you a lot and I've been thinking about, like, where's Connor? Where's Connor? Here's what I have to say about this. You've got some nerve to say, where is Connor, when you have canceled three cocktail parties in a row? You have also spent most, if not all, of your group dates where Connor has been focused on Luke P, what Luke P is doing, and assessing the mood in the house with Luke P around. So for you to say you don't know where Connor is stupid.
This is a dumb conversation.
Yes.
They sit there and Connor goes, I want a one-on-one date. Knowing there are none of them left, he's like, I want one. And she goes, who are you?
Right.
And that's it. And then he just backs up against the wall, pulls out his little, like, roller, just goops himself back up into the wallpaper.
Can I just say, you are using goop incorrectly.
I'm using it correctly.
No, you've seen enough episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race to know how to use the word goop.
That is not what this is about. You use the word goop, it means all parts of speech.
It
means
does
everything.
Not. No, gooped means surprised.
I think he hears this and he goes, okay, I'll just disappear back into nothingness. Like, he's not on the show.
He really did fade into black.
He's not on the show. He doesn't do anything. He didn't say anything. And he shows up like, you have to give me a date. And she goes,
and she's like, I don't know who you are, bro.
What?
Get out of here.
Security?
What?
It's kind of a letdown. And bye, she's like, Connor. She's like, you got to get out of here.
Bye, Connor.
And she's like, I'm going to, like, if you don't leave now, like, you have no chance.
Fun fact.
You know?
Well, you know, good for you. Connor leaves. And fun fact, he is going to be on BIP next season.
Cool. Where he will probably do nothing. It'll be like 8 episodes in. And we'll be like, wait a second. Where's Connor?
I think...
Did he like, drown 3 episodes ago?
I've read some spoilers, and you're pretty much right.
Don't read spoilers.
On BIP.
Don't read those either.
I don't care about that show.
Yeah, he's going to fade into nothingness because he's boring, which, as you may remember, is the first rule of dating. Don't be boring.
Don't be boring.
It's a good rule in life, but dating especially.
Yeah. So we are on the one-on-one date with Mike.
This is the one Connor wanted so bad.
So bad. They were riding bikes and drawing each other. This one was really short, and you could kind of tell the direction that it was going.
It had to be short because it was not pretty.
Right. You could tell the direction that it was going because they were talking a lot to Mike during the in-the-moment interviews and not talking a lot to Hannah. And so the minute...
Well, no one ever talks to Hannah because she has nothing to say.
So the minute that Mike started to say to Hannah, you know, I really care about you and I can't wait for you to meet my family and all this kind of stuff. Her face contorted in such a way where I said, she's out. She doesn't like it.
So, yeah. So he says this to her, like, on the bridge at the end of the first part of the date. The painting, they go painting and drawing, whatever. Drawing. Cave drawings.
Drawing. Drawing.
Drawing. Yeah, that's what she does. Painting and drawing.
Drunk.
So they do this. They get on the bridge to say goodbye before they go, like, get ready for their dinner date. And he's like, man, this is going to be great. Can't wait to see these people. And
dummy.
Her face is like...
She's been crying. Like she's been crying all night. She's been crying all night.
Fast forward. Now it's dinner time. It's in an art gallery, which is where we got married.
Oh, my God.
Not in that art gallery, well, but we got married in a museum.
In a museum.
We got married in one of those two. So they, before the date happens, Hannah's in there just stalking around, looking at the paintings. And you can see the wheels turning in her mind, right? Like she's looking at these paintings and it's expressing all these human emotions.
She's trying to pull from the one art history 101 class she slept in because it was an 8 a.m.
She's just having the most sophisticated thoughts. She's just... contemplating existentialism, asking the big metaphysical questions.
The biggest questions.
Then they sit down for dinner, and Mike's like, you look beautiful, you know, jump up here, let me kiss you.
And she starts crying.
And she does it because that's the only thing she does. Yeah. And then she starts crying.
Sure.
And she's like, listen, I saw this painting of Saint Catherine with a Bible and a sword. And to me, that means... I have to cut you. Right?
Yes.
Am I paraphrasing correctly?
Yeah, you're cut.
She cuts just like Homer Simpson cuts everybody on the baseball team.
Wendell is cut. Rudy is cut. Janie, you're gone. Steven, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you. Congratulations. The rest of you made the team. Except you, and you.
God, I love that clip. It is just really hysterical.
It's a timeless classic.
It is a timeless classic. And, you know, the thing that I thought was really awkward about this is she started the breakup conversation with him by saying, you're such a leader. What? You're a leader? That sounds like something your dad says to you.
It sounds like it's not good relationship advice. Mm-mm. You know, I maybe this is a thing people do, but I've never met anybody who's like, oh my God, I just started dating this guy. He's such a leader. I go home and I think, what is he thinking about me? You know, he's probably thinking, what are you thinking about him?
You know what? Callback. You know, unfortunately, that sounds like something I'd say.
Oh, honey. Is that why you like me?
Yeah, you are a leader.
Damn
it.
Leader in podcasting.
Boo!
Definitely not in changing direction on my left leg, though.
Oh, my God.
I will be doing none of that.
None of that. No more
cutting. No leading.
No more cutting across the court.
That's it. Mike unceremoniously dies here. This painting just spoke to her. painting. She painting spoke to her. She just it's so hard for me to believe that she just mentally could process art and turn it into some sort of expression of feeling from an artist to her and have a connection with a person via painting. She can't have a connection with a person sitting in front of her, talking to her.
So meanwhile, Luke continues to...
needle back
yes,
at the house.
That is it. And so the guys that are still left are kind of sitting around the house and discussing what's going on. Luke P...
There's only three guys left here,
right.
Too.
Luke P has decided that because Mike is now out of the room, he feels like he could talk about Mike, which is obviously because Luke P is scared of Mike.
I mean, he's doing the math. He's like, three guys and two roses gives me a better chance than three guys and one rose.
So he says this openly to the rest of the guys, who absolutely adore Mike. They love Mike. Everybody loves each other.
Everybody loves everyone but Luke.
And Luke pretty much says, I mean, I can't wait for Mike to go home. And everybody's like, no, don't even try it. Don't even try it. Don't bring this trash up. I don't want to hear you talk about how you don't like Mike and Mike needs to go home. Like, and he's like, but we're all in the same position. Like, I want all of you guys to go home. Like, Just shut up. Just shut your mouth.
Luke is playing a competition and everybody else is really just kind of there to have a good time with their new friends, which is, you know what? You kind of wish you see more of that on the show. Like, let's not pretend like you're going to be with this person for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Let's pretend like you're trying to convert your attractiveness into a worldwide vacation and make a bunch of friends along the way.
I mean,
that's what everyone's doing.
I mean, you love to see it. You really do. And Tyler had pretty much the line of the night that, you know, that Luke is out here posturing as some sort of big bad, some villain. And, you know, now we've got this 5'8 villain sort of, you know, running around with his little teeny tiny feet. Making all this noise. I love Tyler so much.
There is nothing wrong with being a shorter man.
But you aren't on as many steroids as Luke P is on.
I'm on exactly zero steroids.
And you know how clear it is that Luke P is on steroids? His face has decided to break out from hairline all the way down to his toes.
And he's just getting mad at everyone all the time. Just rage all the time.
You know what causes that? Withdrawal.
Steroids.
From steroids.
Yeah, so they all go on this group date. Tensions between Luke.
Now, when you say they all, the guys that are left.
Peter, Garrett, and Luke.
Peter, Garrett, and Luke go on the group date.
They go on a group date.
Another classic walk and talk.
Which sort of has two phases now.
Yes.
The first phase is they all go and just sit around in this building. They see sites, and then I guess just sit around in this building. Is it a church, maybe?
Yeah, sure.
It kind of looks like it. It's just a big open building.
It's a church that's been hollowed out into a sort of event.
So they sit down instantly, and Luke goes, hey, I'm going to steal you. So he goes and talks to Hannah, and he's like, listen, here are all my problems with Jed. Here are all my problems with Tyler. Here are all my problems with Garrett. Here are all my problems with Peter.
And now, mind you, before Luke went on this date, they all said, bro, as discussed, I don't want to have this conversation with you again. Don't fucking talk about me on your date with Hannah.
But he knows this is the last time he ever has to see anybody. Because once you've made it to hometowns, you're done interacting with
the crew. Even still, it's like, we have had this conversation. We have made it the Luke show every time you go on these dates. And what we end up doing is talking about you and not talking about the rest of us. I don't want to do that. Shut up. Don't do it.
So she doesn't have the strength to see this, or the clarity. She's dumb. She falls for it. And Luke goes, listen, these are all the bad things that are happening. The other guys are going to talk bad about me, which he knows is true. He's like, but, you know, just listen. Remember that, you know, that we're in love, or whatever.
Right.
He says.
And so she says, I can't understand why no one likes you. And so then he says that under the guise of he's trying to protect her from all of these other guys, that he's the only one that really knows her. And, you know, the only reason that he's telling her this is because, you know, I just want you to make the right decision because this is about your husband. And I'm the only guy here that's husband material. What a gross individual. And his eyebrows, I want to shave them off. I want to shave them off and then punch him in the face. That's what I want to do.
I think that they should take a play out of the NFL NBA playbook and just let Hannah review the tape.
Oh, God, let her review
the tape. I want her to sit down with Luke.
Jesus, let her review the tape.
I want her to sit down with Luke, and she's like, listen. He says some shit like this. Everyone sucks. We go home, and everyone's attacking me for no reason, and I'm such an angel. And I want her to just throw the challenge flag out, and then these people wheel in a camera, like a video screen, and she just watches tape of him at the house.
You know what this is actually?
That would make the show so much better.
Adam, you know what this is actually from? It's not from the NFL. And it's not from the NBA.
It's
from that episode of Happy Endings when Dave was dating that girl.
Oh, with the sex tapes.
Soccer player with the sex tapes.
It's just like that.
It's exactly like that.
I want there to be a hidden camera that the Bachelor or the Bachelorette can review of all the other contestants interacting with each other in real life.
And I want a season 4 of Happy Endings.
Everyone does. Oh, Happy Endings is so good.
I know. So Peter gets the rose during the date. He gets a little frustrated with Luke, but not enough to really make a difference.
Peter stays out of it.
When he goes to the back to the hotel, this was my favorite part of the whole show. Tyler and Jed were talking about, oh, you know, Garrett's going to come back. Like, I can't wait. But, well, he's going to smoke him, whatever, whatever. Peter walks in, and Tyler runs and jumps into Peter's arms.
Yeah.
Does that make me like Peter more? No, it does not. But
Jed and Tyler are like, oh, Peter, yeah!
I will entertain it, because you know what I've been waiting for all season? For somebody to walk back through those doors and for these guys to erupt with excitement. And
that's
I got
exactly
it.
Exactly what happened.
And I got it.
So, yeah, I feel like Luke and Garrett spend their whole one-on-one time talking about each other, and Peter's like, listen, you know what? We have a good time together. You know why? Because when you are positive and happy to people, they are positive and happy to you.
And also, Peter pretty much had the most recent one-on-one date, and it was very sexually intense.
I thought you were going to say most recent haircut, which I think is also true.
Also true. It's a better haircut, I will say that. Yeah. It's not great. I don't love it. So Luke and Garrett get into a bit of a tete-a-tete.
This is like the end of first part of the date.
Yeah.
Peter leaves, and now it's just a 2-on-1.
Right. And they get into a bit of a tete-a-tete, and Luke gets in Garrett's face. And, you know, the only thing that Luke cannot stand is when somebody laughs about his emotions and who he is and all that kind of stuff.
Luke is...
And it was pretty funny. And, you know, also the other moment that I loved about this episode was when Luke tried to come up and challenge Garrett, Garrett stood up and towered
over like
this little man.
He's like 9 inches taller.
He towered over this little man, and Luke was yelling in his face and doing all this, and Garrett just stood up and was like, really, little girl?
Listen.
Really?
The elves don't yell at Santa.
Thank you.
That's not how this works.
Thank you. Thank you. It was really fantastic.
You know, earlier this season, she could hear all the guys yelling at each other from a room or two away.
Yeah.
And yet, Luke is like in Garrett's face, like
screaming,
bending
at him.
Over him and yelling,
with
and
his
he's got
fist
his fist
in his face.
I was like, where did her sense of hearing go now?
Hello,
you
it
know?
Must be selective.
So anyway, we have this very awkward second part. The two of them are just sitting across the table from each other at dinner. She's at the head of the table. Everyone hates everyone. It's quiet. Obviously, she doesn't know what to say because that's just her default status.
Right.
She has one more one-on-one with each of them, like little conversation, and Luke is like, listen, my life, I've been through all these lows. I got into drugs and drinking
and
sex.
Yeah.
And then I converted to Christianity and turned my life around. And she eats this up.
Now, the other thing that I found to be weird, I thought we had already talked about this. Now, did Luke just tell us, the viewer, about his born-again nature? And this was new information to Hannah?
No, how bad it got before.
I see.
She doesn't care that he is religious now. She cares that he
had... Well, she knows he's religious
now.
Yeah,
she doesn't care about that. She cares that he has had struggles. She calls it struggles. She wants to know everyone's struggles all the time. That is the only thing she thinks is worth communicating in a conversation, is your past struggles. So he goes, here are my struggles. And she just... She falls in love with it. It's puppy dog eyes. She's like, oh my God, struggles. This
is
what I wanted.
She is very clearly attached to how connected people are to their faith. That means a lot to her.
She's a big
dummy.
And
it is clear that that is one of the main reasons that is keeping Luke around for her.
But Mike is religious too.
I I know. Adam, I know.
She wants people to have the struggles, I think. And the idea that the result of the struggle was the religion was the thing they have in common, I think works for her very powerfully.
So, that pretty much sealed the deal.
That's it. Garrett comes in, tries to do the I love you bomb, but she's already made up her mind. It's over.
So, I guess let's get
Luke,
to the...
Luke is back. Luke makes it to hometowns. It's just exhausting. Gee, we've had eight episodes, and I think five of them have been, like, the theme of the episode has been Luke is terrible. And then it's down to the drama, down to the wire. Will he get the last rose? And he does.
Right.
I think it's been five of the eight episodes.
I agree.
This is too much.
And
she needs, Hannah needs to be something on this show to prevent this from happening.
Well, next week is obviously hometowns, and then the week after that is clearly when he's going to get the boot. So,
yeah, he'll
he's definitely going to go home after or before the fantasy suites. So let's get into the end of the road, and then we'll do power rankings and then bold predictions.
End of the road, first loss is Connor.
Oh, Con.
You know what?
He was the last of the guys that we did know a lot about.
Yeah, he wasn't really on the show. He sort of eliminated himself. He sort of let her eliminate him early. There was no way this episode ended with him advancing.
No.
You know,
especially
sorry,
compared
girl.
To everybody else, it just wasn't going down like that.
Didn't really have a memorable moment this season?
No.
Did he get the very first one-on-one?
Second, maybe? No, the first one-on-one was the guy that spit on his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, that
guy kicked
sucks.
Off. Yeah, we hate him.
All right, well, Connor, sorry. No one will remember you.
Sorry, Con. We'll see you on BIP.
Now we're talking about the big ones. The next guy we lost was Mike, who I think the universe still favors to be the next Bachelor.
It is my hope. Unfortunately, what I've been hearing as of late is that Peter is also in the running. Biscoff Peter.
I think she...
Not the Peter that we care about on this show.
I think she is... That is her number one right now, Peter. I think he has a chance to win. It cannot be Jed, given the history. It can't be Tyler, because we can't have a second dumb Bachelor. It obviously can't be Luke. You know, if Peter wins, Mike is total driver's seat.
I think at this point, as discussed, ABC cannot continue to make this show without having a Black Bachelor. They just can't. Especially after they've already had Rachel.
And just give us a grown-up.
And you Mike know, is a grown-up.
31
exactly.
or something?
Mike
give us a grown-up.
31 years old. He's got himself together. He is so great on camera. He like, there's no reason for it. There's no reason for me to sit through a season of Biscoff Peter with a bad haircut.
Yeah, get him out of here.
Get him out of here.
That's it.
We love you, Mike.
Final guy we lost was Garrett.
Garrett. Ugh.
He fell a trap. Garrett is a good contestant. Who can offer her exactly what she wants.
Yeah.
He fell into the trap
I agree.
Of trying to take down the weak link.
The big bad. I agree.
I mean, you always think, there's no way they're going to keep this person on. They're so bad. So what I will do is position myself opposite them, and then when they go down, I'm going to go up.
Listen.
That's not how it works.
Listen, guys. I mean, not to give you endgame spoilers or anything like that, but Captain America did need some help taking down Thanos. Iron Man did not take down Theranos by himself.
Yeah. Don't make enemies.
That's right. And don't fall into the trap. You know? Don't fall into the trap.
So many traps. Don't be in them.
And I loved Garrett. Oh, God. Garrett was so hot and so cool. But after a little bit, him needling Luke made him a little bit unattractive
like
for me.
You felt like this entire episode, he could have had it if he just took his foot off the gas with Luke.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
He was just like, I feel like he's close. I'm going to put a little bit of pressure on and make him give in. And it did not work.
It didn't.
And it's his own fault.
But I will still stand by him standing and towering over
Listen,
Luke.
I know that you think it's some sort of achievement that people are tall.
As a short person, yes. I truly have no frame of reference for how big things are.
I like the short guys. I also like the short girls, if you're listening.
And
you're
like,
available.
And you like them pretty.
Yeah, I like them very pretty. And also, just to leave chaos in their wake.
That's right.
I want them to be Linda Cardellini and Dead to Me.
Oh my God! You guys, we watched Dead to Me this weekend. We watched the whole thing. I loved it so much that I wanted to get bangs.
I loved it so much that I want to get Linda Cardellini.
I know.
In real life, but also her character on this show. The one with all the problems and the insecurities and the like mysterious past. I want so much.
Now, guys, if I can be so bold, and Adam will allow me to be so bold, the character that Linda Cardellini plays is pretty much textbook of all of the women Adam has ever dated in his life that do not include me.
Dated slash has been interested in.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
I like just like a tiny little wreck.
Yeah.
Someone's life.
Just a tornado of emotions.
Yes. Someone's life that is currently experiencing a very minor typhoon. A very targeted typhoon.
Out of sorts all the time.
Everything is all over the place.
All over the place. Chaotic.
I love that.
You do love it.
You can't help what you're into. I don't choose that, but that screams out to me, mm-hmm. You know?
And I think you Save also me. Do just love Linda Cardellini.
That's definitely true.
Regardless.
Let's go to power rankings.
Okay.
My number four is Luke, because that guy's gross.
You're an idiot. My number four is Tyler.
No!
I know.
My number three is Jed.
You're an idiot. My number three is Luke.
What?
Yeah.
My number two is Tyler. Tyler. Hey, great.
You're an idiot. My number two is Peter.
I think Peter's number one.
Jed.
Peter's number one for me. Sorry. I know Peter's number one for me. I think Peter's number one for her. Because we have something in common.
I know Tyler is number one for me.
All the Biscoff you can eat, honey. It's crunchy. It's cinnamony.
I know.
It's light. It dips. It dunks. You eat it on its own. Biscoff is the perfect airline snack.
Biscoff?
A life full of Biscoff.
Biscoff gives me gas.
But when you're with Peter.
You know why? Because it's got too much sugar in it.
It's delicious.
It is not delicious.
A life with Peter is an early death.
I would rather.
From a diabetes only caused by Biscoff.
I would rather have a cheese plate.
I would rather you not have a cheese plate.
I would rather have a cheese plate that I pay for.
As the person who sleeps in your bed, I would rather you not have that.
I would rather have a cheese plate. Because they both give me gas. I'd rather have something I enjoy. And my number one is Jed. Because, duh. She's going to pick Jed. And
I think there are problems here.
Oh, I know there are problems there.
Why would ABC allow these stories to be going out if Jed were the winner, though?
I don't think they're allowing the stories to go out. I mean, I think this is all the truth. They can't stop the truth from coming out.
I think they're in trouble with her. They need to make this season as much about the drama of the guys and as much about the problems with the guys, because she is literally no story.
Okay,
she is not a person.
So then bold predict me then. So if she picks Jed and we get on after the final rose, we cannot ignore all of the news stories that have come out about Jed.
We
what happens?
Don't get to participate in that.
But what happens?
We make fun of people on our podcast.
I know, but if she picks Jed and she gets on after the final rose,
ABC's in trouble.
And now what?
ABC's in big trouble. ABC's in big trouble because they did a bad job on their screening, whatever.
But we said that for the past 3 years.
Their process has definitively failed.
Often.
You know, their process, number one, of picking The Bachelorette, and number two, of just the entire show, how you could end up with somebody who is actively in a relationship right now and you don't even know about it, obviously ABC's in trouble. And point number three, ABC gets to have another season of this thing where they go, something you've never seen before in your entire life, which is what's actually going to happen. Chris Harrison goes, the most dramatic. You've never seen anything like this before. Yeah, you got to think they're almost trying for it at this point.
And it seems pretty clear what's going to happen. Hannah's going to go home for the hometown dates. She's going to continue to latch on to Luke and his faith, and that's going to be really important for her. Ty's going to go home, and then we're going to have a conversation with Luke about how it's cool that Hannah is having sex with people and he can't control her body.
Yeah,
now, this is the second time that they would have had this
conversation. That's the clear breakdown here, is that...
Whereas the first time you have that conversation, that means, no, we're breaking up.
Yeah, they're going to sit down and they're going to read the card that says, you can go to the fantasy suite and have sex with each other. And Luke's going to go, we could go to the fantasy suite, but I'm religious, you're religious, we're not having sex. And I would hope, what they said it in this preview, he goes, I hope you haven't done it with any of the other guys. And she's like,
because if you have, I'm walking away right now.
And she's going to go, yeah, listen, I have. And he's going to go, okay, I'm out. It's going to be a big blow up. He's going to leave, and then he's going to come back and try to propose to her anyway.
I That's
what's going
to
happen.
She's going to end up telling him about himself, for sure. Now, the question becomes...
She should have done that already.
Oh, girl, yes. I mean, the question becomes, when are her and Luke going to have their fantasy suite? Like, in what order? You know what I mean? So, they show it...
It's going to not be one, because I think he specifically says, I hope you haven't done this on the other ones, on another one. So, it definitely can't be one.
Right.
Although... Knowing the producers, knowing how this show works,
it's probably the last one.
They know where their story is, and they're going to save it for last.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think he will probably go third. ABC is, they're smart. They do this thing for a living. They're going to put him third.
Oh, boy.
And they know exactly what's going to set him off.
Well, let's get to stepping and get this guy out of here.
You know, and that's it. And then he's going to leave. It's going to come down to Jed versus Peter. And then he's going to come back. He's going to come back out of nowhere and be like, you know what? I'm going to propose anyway. And it's not because he decided to. It's because the producers, literally, he's on his way out and they go, hey, here's a ring. Go try to give this to her right now.
Right.
You know?
And she's going to say no. She's going to be like, get out of here. Like,
of course she says no. And then she makes up her mind and she picks Peter.
You're wrong. So, this means that Luke, based on that timing, is going to be on the Men Tell All.
He has to be, because they don't have a show without him on the Men Tell All.
Well, I can't wait for those guys to just scream at him for 2 hours.
It's going to be 100% of that show.
Cool. Show me some bloopers and show me
everybody. Then Hannah's going to come out and everyone's going to be like, oh my God, she can't talk live camera at all.
Yeah.
And we have to give her just one act of this. It's going to be 6 minutes of her going,
And then the other problem is, ooh.
Are you doing an impression of her, or your wheels turning?
My wheels are turning. Oof. I'm going to save this.
What are you saving it for? Don't save it. Tell the people.
So, if based on my theory... If she picks Jed, all of these stories will have come out. She's got Jed and Peter in the finale. Chris Harrison, at this point, usually asks people, okay, well, tell us what you think about the final two. Like, how does Peter make you feel? How does Jed make you feel?
Counterpoint.
Right?
Counterpoint. She will have already, if she's picked Jed... She will have already had a point. And before Men Tell All, she will have already made her selection.
Right.
If she's picked Jed, he's had a month, 2-3 months to manipulate her into believing his side of this story, whatever it is.
And we know she's already easily manipulated.
She is the most malleable target possible.
Yeah.
You could convince her of anything with that much time where she can't talk to anybody else but him, basically.
Yeah.
Of course she's going to have some sort of line to believe. She will have convinced herself.
Oh, my God.
Ugh. Of course.
Oof, what a
mess. You should never let your children date.
Anyone?
Well, I mean, you should never let your children get married.
Yeah, that...
Until they're adults.
That's true.
I gotta let your children date, right? Like, everybody should have fun.
Yeah.
God, Hannah, what a child.
I mean, loneliness is the strongest human emotion.
It is! Mm-hmm. Stop just telling people what I say.
No.
This can't just be a podcast of my platitudes.
No.
Hey, be nice to people. It's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, we get it.
That's all I have for this week.
Okay, everybody. Well, happy holidays for those of you that are in the United States.
That's right. It is America's birthday.
It's America's birthday, everybody. Shoot off some guns and some fireworks. And just be safe all around. Have some hot dogs for us. And if you're on the East Coast, have a lobster roll for me.
Yeah, and we'll see you next week in these guys' hometowns.
Bye.
Stop with my mind. None of you know anything about me. I want fun, and I want adventures.
Because all we do is talk about stupid
jabroni.
The Roll Tide, yeah.
It was real, and it was raw.
I'm a normal human being, like, trying to be a bachelorette.